Greetings from CMDA headquarters in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Dr. Bill Griffin, your Vice President for Dental Ministries. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Dental Soundbites. Today's guest, Dr. John Ward, retired from a long career in private practice about a year ago, and since then, he's been having a blast serving as faculty member and campus advisor for students at the Louisiana State University School of Dentistry in New Orleans. Dr. Ward graduated from LSU in 1984, and he spent 38 years treating patients in Ruston, Louisiana, where he practiced with a passion for comprehensive restorative care, including attention to the entire masticatory system. He sought to focus on the person connected to the problem, providing an adaptable approach to each person and their journey through life. And now the Lord has granted him the privilege of sowing into the lives of dental students through the CMDA group that he leads. Let's join Dr. Ward now to learn more about how the Lord has blessed him through various stages of his career. Well, Dr. Ward, thank you for joining me on this edition of Dental Soundbites.
Griff, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you and the team. I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, about a year ago, you retired from a long career in private practice, and you now serve as the CMDA campus advisor at LSU School of Dentistry. As you think back on almost four decades of private practice involvement, what stands out to you regarding those years?
When I graduated from LSU School of Dentistry in 1984, June, I headed to Ruston, Louisiana to open up a general dentistry practice from scratch. And honestly, I was both thrilled at the prospect of pursuing a dream and terrified at the possibility of failure.
Sure.
But I had memorized a promise from Psalm 138:8, which says, "The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands." And so whenever I would get into some tight spots, and there were many, and a lot of unknowns, this truth became my anchor. It was a bedrock promise. And actually, throughout my whole career of dentistry, but especially in the early days, when those uncertainties surfaced, I relied on this promise. I'm confident that God blessed the decision, and he was in the leadership role of having me return to Ruston. It was the town that I attended college at Louisiana Tech on a football scholarship. You see, Dr. Griffin, I became a Christian back in 1971 following Dr. Billy Graham's visit to Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, my hometown. My high school years were a mess with respect to seeing a relationship with Christ take off, but God was faithful through a series of events. He allowed me to see that I could not excuse my wayward ways on the failures of other men. So he allowed me a fresh start when I left Baton Rouge for college. I met several wonderful mentors who were serious about their walk with Christ. These were coaches, Coach Wallace Martin and Coach Mickey Slaughter, both of whom are now gone on to be with Christ. And there was another special mentor, Dr. Rodney Wood, who I'm still in contact with today. But these guys weren't perfect, but they certainly had better things to do with their time. However, they cared enough for me to give the biblical guidance and love. And consequently, during the summers, rather than move home to Baton Rouge, I remained in Ruston and I worked, lived with some Christian guys, and we worked out together for football and having Bible studies at home and discussions late into the night. Those were some fruitful years. So therefore, when I left LSU Dental School in 1980, I prayed that following dental school, God would allow me to open a practice in Ruston after graduation. And he certainly answered that prayer. During my dental school journey, I met my wife, Kim. She and I married in December of 85, and we'll celebrate 38 years this coming year, or this year. We have three grown children, Griff. They are all married, and I have two terrific sons-in-laws and a real sweetheart daughter-in-law. Most importantly, though, I became a granddad this year. My first grandson, JJ, James Jeffrey Weaver, was born April the 21st, and their parents, Lucas, my son-in-law, and daughter Anna, live in Dallas, along with my other daughter, Maggie, and her husband, Justin. My son, Evan, and his wife, Kelsey, they live in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, a number of things that you mentioned really resonate with me. You mentioned football. I love football. I spent 13 years in pads myself from fourth grade on up. And also, like you, when I entered private practice, it was scary. I thought to myself, how am I going to pay this $800 a month rent? You know, where am I going to find the money to do this? And yet, I think a part of being able to overcome those obstacles, especially the anxiety, is believing that you didn't just choose dentistry, but that God had a calling on your life. And if you believe that God has called you into dentistry, then you believe that He is going to prepare those good works beforehand for you, that He's going to provide what you need to carry on in the calling that He has on your life.
I agree. And I've seen that borne fruit in my own life. I'm glad to hear that was your story as well.
Now, one of the central challenges that we face as dentists is dealing with patients that are anxious regarding their treatment needs. What have you found in your years of private practice to be successful in alleviating their anxiety during treatment?
I'm a storyteller. In fact, my kids have accused me regularly of being a storyteller skillfully disguised as a general dentist. I love good stories, and every day, especially down here at the school in New Orleans, I remind our students on the clinic floor, don't forget your stories. Mm-hmm. I found, Griff, that when you share a story of your life or perhaps something from history, people get caught up in the narrative and they often forget what setting they're in. If they're in the dental setting and you're telling a story, they seem to get lost in the story. Mm-hmm. That is a huge advantage for us. Plus, your patients get to know you. A remarkable thing happens when a dentist relays a story to their patients. The patient finds themselves at ease to share their own story, which is ultimately the great heart connection that we get. When in private practice, I always used impression time as story time. Often I would plagiarize stories, perhaps from a guy like Mike Rowe, the Dirty Jobs guy. He has a podcast called That's the Way I Heard It. Mm-hmm. And I would take many of his stories and rearrange them so that they fit during the time it takes for PVS impressions to set up. And that usually took about 4 or 5 minutes. And before we knew it, they didn't realize they had a whole impression time done.
Oh, that's great. Especially for gaggers, that could take their minds off of it and cause them to think of something else. You know, a mutual friend of ours named Jesus seemed to tell a lot of stories as well.
So I've heard.
Tell us about the transition from private practice to becoming a dental school faculty member and campus advisor at LSU.
Honestly, Griff, I was not looking for this transition. Yeah. I'm quite confident that this was a divine setup. After COVID, we had reduced in our practice to 3 clinical days a week. Mm-hmm. The number of patients that I was seeing in the senior category was quite a few, and they were a little bit timid about returning. And my wife and I, consequently, as empty nesters, found ourselves enjoying the flexibility. Mm-hmm. We were traveling to see our grown children in different cities. And then out of the blue, a young man who had shadowed in our office years prior reached out and asked if I would entertain selling my practice to him. Then less than 4 months later, LSU Dental School down here reached out to me and asked if I'd be willing to move to New Orleans and teach. And I told my wife, I believe that our lives are about to change. Consequently, we sold our practice to a fine young dentist, Dr. Trey Hanna, on June the 30th of last year. Mm-hmm. And I began teaching full time down here at LSU July 5th. So I just celebrated our first anniversary. And may I say, Griff, this has been a joy. I've loved being on the faculty. I've met some terrific colleagues that I get to interact with daily. The students, for the most part, are eager to learn and fun to be around. I love their, Dr. Ward, if you have a moment, one more question. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminds me of Peter Falk's character in Columbo. One more team.
Yes.
So it's really been a lot of fun.
That's tremendous. And, you know, I can't help but consider the possibility that those who sowed into your life as a student and as a young dentist, that certainly has something to do with the zeal and the enjoyment you have of doing the same for students now.
I think you're right, Griff. We had several mentors when I was in school, but this role as faculty advisor has been really sweet for me. Dr. Christopher Spencer, who retired He was the CMDA faculty advisor before me.
Yes, I remember him.
He actually moved up to the Seattle area. He and another fine Christian man who works with the continuing ed department, Dr. Bob Lehman, they had been praying for a while that God would open the doors for a replacement to come. And I reached out to a former CMDA area director, a good friend of mine, Willie Gunnels. And Will and I visited, and I said, Will, I've been asked to go down to LSU. Tell me, do you know anything about the ministry opportunities down there? Because honestly, I don't have a burn or an ambition to be an academic, but if ministry is available, this would be a real joy. And he said, John, I don't remember because I've been away for a while, but let me get you in touch with a couple of guys. And those were the two men that he allowed me to reach out to. So I inherited a solid core of students who love Jesus and want to see him displayed and honored at the school. We have a couple of dozen faithful who make up the nucleus. It's a good mix of D2s and 3s and 4s. It's also a nice balance of men and women. The ladies have their own Bible study. They meet on, I believe, Thursday mornings, and then the guys meet together Friday morning. We dig in the Word. We look for God's Spirit to help us to apply it to our lives. And this, especially the group of men, it has been very sweet. They're hungry for truth. They challenge me with their devotion to Christ. I'll tell you this, this year, one of the highlights that we had was we had a Zoom event with Dr. Walt Larimore. Our students loved his authenticity, his candor, and of course, his humor. Dr. Mark Dal Corso, who is the Tulane and LSU Med School faculty advisor, he was the sponsor for the event. He actually put it all together. And I hope that in the future, we get to have more joint meetings with the medical school. That that was a true highlight.
Yeah, I remember that. I was actually able to hop on to part of that Zoom meeting, and what a tremendous opportunity for those students. And I think Dr. Larimore enjoyed it too. So it seems to me that you could be retired if you wanted, but instead you still had to work each day to sow into the lives of dental students. Was that a hard decision for you?
Griff, the short answer is no, it was not. It is not hard. When I went through the interview process, I admitted to the administration that I was flattered that they had asked me to come. I was also candid with them that I might not be a good fit. I've never taught before, or I had never taught before. And what they suggested was that I come down and test the waters by teaching once a month. So in late 2021, I ventured 4.5 hours south from North Louisiana down to New Orleans on a Thursday night. I taught Friday, spent the weekend with some family members, and then taught again on Monday, headed back to Ruston on Monday night. And I suppose that what happened was my sweet wife, Kim, when she saw that I returned home, saw on my face how thrilling it was. She and I both knew it was meant to be.
Tremendous. You got started on dental mission trips while you were still in dental school to Haiti in 1983. And your involvement has continued regularly since then. How did that first trip to Haiti whet your appetite for future trips?
Griff, there was a periodontist named Dr. Dick Caudill who allowed Dr. David Brannon, another dental student, and I to attend with him on this trip down to Haiti. And of course, in 1983, this was before the earthquakes in Haiti. But yet it was still an impoverished nation. And I had never been outside of the United States. And the sights, the smells, the sounds, the look of emptiness on people's faces, it burned into my soul. I remember seeing the abject poverty for the first time and the unsupervised little children playing in open sewage ditches and the glazed eyes. This was impactful to me. But also contrasted to that, we would meet at night with a few Haitian believers who possessed the joy of Christ despite their surroundings and their conditions. And they actually taught me a little song in Creole that to this day, 40 years later, I remember. It was, Escouble ale, like a papa moi, like a papa moi, like a papa moi. Escouble ale, like a papa moi, guizoi, zoi. Do you want to go to my father's house where there's joy, joy, joy?
Wow.
And so, anyway, It obviously, 40 years later, if I can remember the song they taught me, it made an impact on my life.
It sounds as though you and I both have recognized the fact that those who have very little in other countries but have a walk with Christ have a certain joy that most Americans would be envious of. And although I've spent some time in Haiti, in fact, it was about 6 weeks after the earthquake about a decade ago, and I've seen the difficult situations in which they live, I feel worse for the American who thinks he has it all and still isn't happy than for someone in another country who has less materially but recognizes how only Christ can fulfill them.
Well said. There's a richness that the people who have little can teach us who have much. Mm-hmm. I think James reminds us of that over and over. Did not God choose the poor for that very reason?
Now, when we talked a few weeks ago, there was an undeniable excitement in your voice, a real joy regarding your work with LSU students. What makes your current position so fulfilling?
Well, I'm only a year into this, but there hasn't been a day, Dr. Griffin, that I have arrived at the school and I wish that I were doing something else. I've seen God open doors every single day. And I do not exaggerate, meaningful conversations take place with both students and faculty. Perhaps one of the aspects of that is God has dialed me into listening for pain. Whenever I hear pain expressed, that pretty much is my divine flag that's waving. This is the conversation. Pay attention and listen for me to be able to help you in my encouragement to these people. That's the kind of message that I get. Mm-hmm. But I also would include the staff here at the school. I get a hug almost daily from one of our custodial ladies, Miss Stephanie, who greets me with, "How's it going, Papa?" She knows that I'm a brand new granddad, and she will allow me to update, showing her progress pictures of little JJ.
What you mentioned about when you hear some semblance of pain, that's an opportunity to pursue that further. And we know that life includes pain. Everyone's life includes pain. And yet that can all often be a stimulus for them to either come to faith in Christ or to grow their faith in Christ. And there's a somewhat of an example of that that I noticed in my own practice. About 15 years ago, I began providing sedation dentistry for my patients, oral sedation. And that was so helpful in dealing with anxious patients that when I would meet a new patient who was anxious, I would almost get excited inside because I knew that through the proper medications, we could give them excellent treatment that would be comfortable because of sedation dentistry. And this is not a commercial for sedation dentistry. It's more a matter of when you know Christ, when you know the power of the gospel in your own life, you almost get excited when people show needs that only Christ can meet, because that can be an opportunity to introduce them to the Savior.
I agree. And Griff, I tell my students often when we meet together at the beginning of the day, we have little what we call bay huddles, and I will say to them, pay attention. I know you're here to try to get your education and get your requirements taken care of, get your experiences underway. However, pay attention when someone offers to you a little snippet of their life in which pain is involved. I'll give an example. Just a few minutes ago, there was a lady that drove 2 hours down here. She's one of 10 children. Her dad fought in World War II. Came home, became an alcoholic, and married her mother, and they got busy making babies and 10 children later, 3 years after the last one was born. He dies of a heart attack, and then she dies sometime later, and so they are farmed out to different family members. Mm. And I'm sitting there listening to this lady just tell her whole life story, and I'm saying, ma'am, how did you do that? And I saw the impatience of the dental student standing next to me, and I wanted to just kind of grab his arm and say, hold on. You'll get this done. We'll get the work done.
Yes.
Pay attention. This lady is telling her life story here. So anyway, whenever I hear someone willing to share pain, I automatically think, okay, God is at work here.
Beautiful. And in the process, you're teaching these dental students that dentistry is not the end goal. It's a means to a far greater end. I think that's beautiful. Not just that you're doing that, but that students who might understandably be quite concerned about getting their credits and learning the procedures and all, that you can broaden the vision they have even very early in their careers. Now, you have two sisters, and somehow all three of you ended up becoming dentists. How did that happen?
Well, I'm sure they would say that they inspired me. However, both my sisters are younger, and they both independently chose dentistry. I'm confident of that. All three of us graduated from college together, not together at the same time, but from Louisiana Tech in Ruston for our undergrad. And all three of us came down to LSU Dental School. My sister Lisa, she finished in 1986, a couple of years behind me. And she just retired from teaching dental assisting in Spartanburg, South Carolina. My youngest sister, Ashley, who finished in 1994 at LSU Dental School, is still practicing in Pensacola. She's involved with the Navy Clinic. And we don't get together often enough. But when we do, we rarely talk shop. There's a whole lot more family matters going on. But our parents instilled in us a high value on education. Our parents were teenagers when they got married and barely finished high school. But 10 years into their journey of our family, they decided to uproot us from a little small town in South Louisiana and move to Baton Rouge. They attended LSU and both got their college degrees. So that made a lasting impression on us. If they were willing to uproot us and see their lives change like that, then maybe there's something to this education thing.
That's tremendous. Well, like you, I come from a family of dentists. It was my father, my older brother, his wife, my sister's husband, and a nephew as well. And yet, as you said, when we get together, it's not really a lot of talking shop. That's possible, but we have deeper things to talk about like you do as well. As you look back on your four decades of dentistry, are there any particular highlights or memorable instances that come to mind?
Well, Dr. Griffin, I would be remiss if I did not mention a couple of turning points in the last 40 years. Just shy of the halfway mark in 2005, I was introduced to the Pankey Institute.
Yes.
It was at a place and time that God used to redirect my focus and the focus of our practice. Dr. Pankey was great friends with a dentist from New Orleans, Dr. Harold Worth, who actually taught at LSU. And I heard Dr. Pankey speak when I was a student in the early 80s when Dr. Worth invited him. And although Dr. Pankey and Dr. Worth both had passed away by the time that I engaged at the Pankey Institute, their legacy was still alive and well. Now Dr. Lee Brady runs the Institute, and she's doing a great job, a fantastic job. But Dr. Pankey was the first one that I ever heard introduce the topic of work-life balance. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a lot of buzz about that in this time era that we're in. He used an illustration of what he termed the cross of life. You've
yes.
probably seen it.
Yes,
it's balanced on the horizontal, the work and the play, and the vertical is worship and love. And according to Dr. Pankey, happiness occurs when you keep these in balance. Well, personally, my application is that keeping Christ in the center of our lives is the only way possible to see that balance. So for me, it's more of an inside out. John Piper is famous for saying, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. I think that's what the Apostle Paul would say as well with, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me.
As you've mentioned about the Pankey Institute, I spent 4 weeks there also. And I had the exact same response to the Pankey Cross that you did. I thought, yes, it's great that he's calling us to balance, but Christ has to be at the heart of that. I was thinking that worship has to be at the heart of that, that all of those spokes have to relate to the centrality of our Creator in our lives. So I was both blessed by the Pankey Institute and also had the same slight reservation that you did.
Well, in some ways, I would put it in these terms, that I did not find it incorrect. I found it incomplete. I think that Dr. Pankey had a great heart, and he certainly impacted many, many folks. When it came to this idea, he was operating on the information that he had. And so later on, you're right, it occurred to me that unless we have given everything to Jesus, there is a likelihood that our lives are going to be filled with, do I have this imbalance? Do I have that imbalance? And it's almost like you're trying to run the show when the reality is cast our cares on him because he cares for us.
Yes. Amen.
My second turning point that I would like to mention is when my family and I started going to Zambia, Africa. We visited the country 7 times between 2011 and 2019. And after COVID hit, I'm sad to say we have not been back. I'm anxious to return. I miss the kids. They stole our hearts there. We mainly were involved in orphan care. Someday I would love to see a dental clinic started and perhaps would be one of those entrees for the dental practice residency to participate from the UT school in Memphis. Zambia one time was the home of the highest per capita orphan population in the world. And each year that we went, we began to see more and more how staggering the need is.
John, I would love to have someone like you cultivating ministry opportunities with CMDA students at each of the 68 dental schools across the country. Help me out by sharing with our listening audience why they should consider becoming a part of CMDA student ministry, either during their careers or perhaps as they make the move away from private practice.
I believe for the active practitioner, one of the easiest ways that a busy dentist can get involved in CMDA is offering shadowing to students. Pre-dental and dental students love being in a private office. I realize sometimes it can be a little intrusive, but after all, that's how ultimately I became introduced to the young dentist who purchased our practice. But for the seasoned dentist like me, I would encourage all of our faithful CMDA member dentists who are close to retirement age to be open to academics. I would love to say again that I planned all this, but that would simply be not true. Leaving private practice and entering academia, I believe, can be an open door for ministry. I don't believe that. I know that. I've seen this fruit already happen this year. God has been faithful to demonstrate this in New Orleans. Allow me to add this. I know that there is a ton of negative press regarding what some would say is a group of leftward-leaning generation of young professional students. While this may be true, my experience here in New Orleans has not played out that way. God is surprising with me daily with how he moves. I see these students hungry for truth, not someone's opinion of truth, but as the late Francis Schaeffer used to say, true truth.
True truth, yes.
I see them thirsty in their relationships that go beyond superficial, as in screen deep. I look in their eyes and I see a yearning for assurance in a world that's just gone crazy. But yet we get to offer them living water. And that's what's been thrilling to me.
Is there anything else you would like to share with our listening audience?
Dr. Griffin, while I was in dental school, I began to explore and pray for the answer to a question. How can I show the love of Christ to my patients daily, both while I was here at school and certainly beyond? One evening, as I was finishing up Bible study, personal Bible study, and I was reading the story from Mark chapter 7, I saw the answer. You may recall that Jesus was ministering in the Decapolis, the 10 cities region on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they brought him a man who was both deaf and dumb. Jesus pulled the man aside, and scholars say that he began pantomiming what was about to happen. Touching his ears and the man's tongue, Jesus spoke the words, "Be opened," and the man was healed. What is interesting to me was the crowd's reaction. The text says that they were utterly astonished because he, Jesus, did all things well. That word well in the original Greek is the word kalos. I don't want to give you the impression that I know a lot of Greek. This is one of the handful of words that I can pronounce, and I hope I did not mispronounce it. It literally means the highest form of excellence. My take on that is that Jesus, due to his thorough handling of this man's problem, the crowd was impressed. Attempting to care for people in a comprehensive manner is indeed aiming at excellence. So for us to render kalos care is a way of loving our patients well. Every day, I mentioned that we have a little morning huddle with our students, and I've been given a lot of latitude down here from the administration, which I'm very grateful for. But I will tell the students, LSUSD exists to educate, train, and equip excellent general dentists who love their patients well. And that last little tagline to me is one of the areas where I believe God is moving. These students, I see, they get it. They understand that it's not just about the teeth. I remember Dr. Panky used to say, I never saw a molar walk through my front door. There was always a person attached to it. Mm-hmm. And so for us to be given the privilege, like Jesus showed us by example, of being thorough and comprehensive and aiming at excellence, we get a chance to love our patients well.
Yes, Jesus certainly provided excellent care, and yet the physical care was not his ultimate aim, and I think we can be encouraged by that as well. Well, this has been tremendous, and I just very much appreciate you spending some time with us, and I know that our doctors and also our students that are listening will be richly blessed. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Griffin. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Ward's story reminds us of the words of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. As the Lord confirmed the work of Dr. Ward's hands during his private practice years, this confirmation is continuing in abundance as he works with his CMDA student group at LSU. Recently, I have heard from many others with similar stories. Dentists discovering profound joy after retiring from private practice. Just in the last month, I spoke with a joy-filled retired dentist from Los Angeles who's been serving in Rwanda for the past 3 years. I served also in Nigeria with a retired dentist from Atlanta who will serve on 5 dental mission trips this year. And another friend recently retired from private practice in Wichita, Kansas, and is moving to Philadelphia to practice in a Christian clinic. If you are retired or are considering retirement, consider how the Lord could put your lifelong dental experiences to good use. Perhaps teaching at a CMDA Dental Residency Plus program, either domestically or internationally, or perhaps working with dental students as a CMDA campus advisor, as Dr. Ward does. If you're seeking the Lord's guidance regarding future ministry possibilities, I would be happy to talk with you regarding various ways your knowledge and experience could be put to good use. I recently had an opportunity to represent CMDA, along with 3 others from CMDA's senior staff, at the International CMDA World Congress in Tanzania. This meeting, held every 4 years, included over 1,000 doctors from 110 different countries. It was such an encouragement to meet brothers and sisters in Christ who are seeking to communicate the love of Jesus Christ through healthcare. As the Lord said to Elijah, we are certainly not alone in representing him to the world. Now let's hear from Jamie Majeski, our dental representative in the stewardship department, regarding some upcoming opportunities.
Are you interested in short-term mission trips? Well, now is the time to start thinking about signing up for a global health outreach trip. GHO sends teams around the world to El Salvador, East Africa, India, the Pacific, Central Asia, the Middle East, and many other places. Through these trips, we disciple participants, grow national churches, share the gospel, and provide care to the poor and needy. Our teams minister in outpatient primary care medicine and dentistry, and in small and large hospitals to provide surgical services. And don't forget, for dentists new to GHO, there are $1,500 scholarships available thanks to the Dale Willis GHO Memorial Scholarship Fund. If you're interested in using the skills and resources the Lord has entrusted to you, visit cmda.org/GHO to learn more and find a trip that works in your schedule. You are invited to join us for a CMDA Biblical Tour in 2023. These tours are unlike any other because each tour includes incredible Bible teaching and cultural experiences. Just like the tour Dr. Bill Griffin and his wife Linda will be leading in November 2023 to Israel to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Other tours this year are headed to Greece, Turkey, and more biblical sites. Plus, you will meet other Christian healthcare professionals and create friendships that will last a lifetime. Visit cmda.org/tours to learn more and to register. And don't wait. Each tour is limited to around 50 participants each, and they fill up quickly. So make your reservations today.
In closing, I leave you with the words of our Savior, who said in John chapter 15, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." May you experience the full joy that Jesus offers as we abide in his love. Until next time, God bless.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.